Are you ready for a war?
It's a trap.
Game over, man. Game over.
She just killed a helicopter with a car.
I was out of bullets.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the BCD Flixers Movie Review Podcast. I'm your host, Caleb, and here's what we do. We review Netflix movies because we think there's lots of awesome stuff on Netflix. Someone once told me that Netflix doesn't have much great stuff on it. It's a bunch of B-movies and garbage. And you know what I say? I say, no, you're just not looking very hard. And that's what we do. We find the good stuff, and we tell you if it's worth watching.
Hello, Bama, as always.
Hi, and I'm Daniel Stahl.
And today we have a special guest, one of our good buddies here from Mid-America Christian University, and fellow nerd and trickster. Please introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Jesse. I am sort of the resident troll slash head nerd here on campus. I enjoy playing D&D, internet memes, and making your life suck when you're online.
That's very true.
That's pretty much the truth.
If Jesse can find a way to drive you insane, he'll do it. In fact, he prepares for what such ways to do. Today is November 9th, and we're reviewing in celebration of the 2012 election that took place on Tuesday. Ooh. God bless America. Hey, shut up. Help America. Vote. All right. So, but before we get into the movie review, we're going to go ahead, as normal, hop right back into the box office results and look at some news items. So, opening at number one, no surprise, Wreck-It Ralph with $49.1 million actually set records for Disney Animation. I was able to catch a screening of it. It was pretty good. It was pretty awesome.
I definitely want to see this weekend because I mean, it's something I'd be interested in, I think. I mean, video games, character switching video games, I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, they have tons of cameos, man. They had, like, Pong, and Sonic actually had some lines.
Oh.
They had some great stuff. They had some references to Mario. Then they had that whole bad guy anonymous group where they all said that they had all that. That was really funny. You had little references, like he goes into a game called Heroes Duty, which is very much like a Gears of War, Halo, StarCraft-looking type of game. And then Sugar Rush, which was like Mario Kart meets Candyland. That's legitimately exactly what it is. So, tons...
Interesting combo.
Yeah, I mean, just like gamers galore. I mean, old school fans of old school games or arcades are going to go in. They're going to love it. Their kids are going to love it. I'll say this much. They managed to actually not just focus on guys, because Sugar Rush actually feels more like a young girl's movie. Now, not to say the movie gets all of a sudden goes girly, but like it has that more cutesy feel to it as opposed to nerdy feel to it. The movie, the first half's kind of like the more gamer, and then you get to Sugar Rush, and it's more like the cutesy thing, but... Really cool, guys. You have a family. This is probably the best anime movie I've seen this year, and I have seen several. And I think Disney might have actually beaten Pixar at their own game this year, which is sad, but true. All right, number two is Flight with $25 million. Very solid for Denzel.
I've heard a lot of good things about that movie.
I'll be honest. I haven't really gone on my way to read anything about it, but I haven't heard much. But I haven't really gone on my way to either.
I just heard a couple of good things about it, just from different... places and stuff like that.
It has a really good Rotten Tomatoes score, so maybe I might check that one out when it has DVD or something like that.
I actually was reading recently that Budweiser wanted to get actually the main character, Denzel Washington's character in the movie, was seen he's drinking Budweiser during several of the scenes, and the Budweiser company wanted to pull that from the movie.
Wow.
Because they didn't want their product to be associated
with,
you know,
plane crashes
with a drunk. And I have to say, Denzel Washington probably plays an amazing drunk.
Yes, he does.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Hanging in tight at number three is Argo with $10.3 million. I love that this movie's hanging on. It was freaking great, and it's just awesome.
It'll probably stay up there for a while.
Yeah, it's been up there. This is week number four, and it's still number three. So, although, look out, next weekend we got a little tiny movie we're going to talk about a little bit later coming out. We'll get to that later, though. Number four, opening pretty not that great, The Man with Iron Fists. That was the Quentin Tarantino-produced B-awesome-looking movie.
But still, it's number four on the list.
Yeah, but...
I mean, yeah, it's under $10 million,
it's $8.2 million.
Probably with... I mean, I haven't seen it, but I can just guess. It's probably one of the most campy kung fu action films ever. But I mean,
I hear Russell Crowe plays it amazingly. He plays his terrible acting.
Russell Crowe can lay it on. I tell you what.
All right. Well, moving on to number five. Still holding on. still holding on. It's never going to give you up or let you down. Well, actually, I think it did let us down, but Taken 2 with $6
million. Wow.
Hey, listen, at least dude. I buy it. There was no Taken pun this week, at least.
It still gets worse every week when Taken pops up.
So you just Rickrolled everyone.
Okay, moving on to the news. Bama, what have you got for us this week?
All right, so for news this week from me, very interesting. Rockstar Games, the people that make Grand Theft Auto and similar games to that, because of the Superstorm Sandy that came through the East Coast recently, they lost power, obviously. And they lost it at a really terrible time because they're actually working on the GTA 5 trailer. And it was supposed to come out, like, last week. But because of the storm, losing power, they are unable to finish it. So who knows how long it'll take them to get power back into their company and eventually release the trailer for it. So,
I heard they said they were hoping for next week, but you just never know with that power.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. So thoughts go out to everyone up in the East Coast that was affected by Sandy.
Don't let electricity keep you down. Vote! We're in America. Vote, man. Vote or die. Okay. All right.
Okay, South Park.
All right, Stoll, what's your news item for the week?
Mine is that Joss Whedon has announced a TV show with Agent Coulson, played by Clark Gregg. It's going to be a TV show, obviously, coming from the Avengers. Sounds really awesome, and they announced that, and I thought that was kind of awesome and cool.
Yeah, I read about a couple weeks back, they said that they're going to go ahead and production is going to start up here next year, so we can look for that one next fall, probably. I'm sure ABC will be that, since it's Disney's kind of parent network. Sounds awesome. I wonder how it's going to tie into the movie universe, you know, the film universe, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I really enjoyed his character in the Avengers films and in, like, an Iron Man when he made his appearance and stuff, so I'm interested to see what they do with it.
And the other question is, how the crap are they going to bring him back? He died! Oh, wait, this is Marvel. We'll bring him back.
Alternate universe. That's all you need to know.
Time travel, alternate universe, clones.
They'll come up with something.
Oh, yes. All right, Jesse, what do you got for us news about?
I was actually reading something last week that was very exciting to me. They're making, get this, a new Conan the Barbarian movie.
Wow.
All right, I'm sure you guys all know how much the last one sucked. But they're going back to the roots. They're getting, wait for it, Arnold Schwarzenegger to play his role once again as Conan the Barbarian.
Wow. Yes.
How old is he?
Arnold is
in his 60s.
Arnold is pushing really hard for that comeback. You know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, he's really trying to make an 80s movie in the 2000s and hope it works. I mean, it might work. It very well could work. I have no idea. But all the trailers for, like, that new movie he's doing, what was it called?
The Stand, I believe, is what it was called.
The Stand, where he's like some old sheriff, and he's like, I'm getting too old for this. I was like, dude, this looks like a movie he made like 30 years ago.
He was born in 1947.
Yeah, he's getting old.
65. Oh, yeah.
65 years old.
He just needs
that's
some
crazy.
Arnold will never be too old to kill somebody. That's all I know.
As long as he's the T-800 the rest of his life. He will be now referred to in this podcast as the T-800. Just saying. Okay. So, my news is more of a rumor. Come out the wave of all the Star Wars news that's been everywhere lately. I thought it'd be fun to just kind of chat it up for a couple minutes about these so-called rumors. The directors that are supposedly, according to the source, under consideration, the lead is Matthew Vaughn, who directed X-Men First Class, Kick-Ass, and Stardust. I liked all those movies.
That's a good list.
It's a good list.
Those are all good movies. I'm not sure if I would like to see him as the new face of the Star Wars, but it is an interesting choice. You know, I think definitely a piece of the nerd culture that we can all respect. There's some other names dropped, and you guys can react accordingly. Steven Spielberg. I mean, that was everyone always wanted, back in the day, wanted him to make Return of the Jedi, and it fell through. So, I mean, that could be interesting. Neil Blomkamp, who directed District 9 and who has another movie he's working on right now. I like District 9 quite a bit.
Yeah, District 9 was very good. So it'd be interesting to see him. I mean, he would do it differently from District 9, but it would be interesting to see how someone of that style did with a Star Wars film.
And it gets better for you really hardcore movie nerds out here. The next two ones that kind of excite me a little bit. Alfonso Cuarón. Now, most of you might know him from directing Harry Potter and the and The Prisoner of Azkaban. But he also directed a little science fiction movie. It's one of my personal favorites called Children of Men. And he's working on a new one called Gravity that stars George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. That guy, his art direction just is stinking incredible in anything he does. He did some really creative stuff in Children of Men that really had me pretty pumped. I mean, he had like this, like the last 30 to 45 minutes of the movie looked like, at least it looked like it was one shot, the whole movie. Really cool, really creative, something you don't see too often. Last one, personal favorite, and I still think these, I think these are all a stretch. I think they're all some created by some fanboy on the internet. But Darren Aronofsky, who did, yes, who did Black Swan, he did The Fountain, The Wrestler, pretty much all these dark, mega-depressing movies. The guy who is now currently working on Noah, the movie I'm excited for. I don't know, just some names to toss up there. I would watch it.
It'd be very interesting if he got picked for that.
Dude, Darren Aronofsky, he really wants to make a nerdy movie. He was this close to making The Wolverine, and he had to back out.
They could, I'm supposedly, I mean, I haven't read all the Star Wars books, but supposedly at one point Luke goes to the dark side. So, I mean, I think he'd actually be a good director for that, yeah. That film.
If they were doing that storyline, yeah.
If they want to make like a hard R Star Wars movie, I'd be all, I'm sure Disney's all about hard R Star Wars movies. That's totally why they bought it. All right, well, that's just something to think about, folks. Just, you know, see what you think. And if you guys have any suggestions for who you think might make a good director for the next Star Wars, go ahead and send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and move into our review of the week. God bless America to celebrate the 2012 presidential election. God Bless America is a movie written, produced, and directed by, get this guy's name, Bobcat Goldthwait. Yes, I think that's how you say his last name. But his first name is Bobcat, dang it. That's awesome. The story follows an insurance salesman named Frank Murdoch, who's played by Jill Murray, who finds the misuse of America's freedom of speech in the media disgusting because of all the reality the TV shows he sees, including Tough Girls, American Superstars. There was a conservative talk show host named Mike Pinhead. Just all these spoofs of pop culture, what's popular, reality TV, and all this media fiasco going to. Anyway, after having a hard night sleeping due to some his noisy neighbors that are very inconsiderate with their baby and such, Frank goes to work where he is accused for harassing a coworker, sexually harassing a coworker, and is then fired after he'd worked there for years and years. So this guy's, you know, he's sliding down. He's not very happy. He's kind of depressed. But it's not the worst thing yet. After being fired, Frank has an appointment with his doctor, where his doctor diagnoses him with inoperable brain cancer. Goes Breaking Bad style, okay? Instead of making meth, he decides, I hate everybody. I'm just going to go kill everything. Basically, he comes to a point where he is talking to his daughter on his phone. He's divorced, and he doesn't get to see his daughter. But he's talking to his daughter on the phone, and she is so upset that she can't have an iPhone. Like, she is crying and throwing crap and shouting because she can't have an iPhone. And at that point in time, Frank is watching the TV where there's a Jersey Shore type of show on where the daughter is complaining about why she can't have the nicest car out there. It couldn't have that exact car that she wanted.
It reminded me of, like, My Sweet 16.
My Sweet, that's a better example. Yeah, not than Jersey Shore. Thank you.
Although there was a show as he was flipping through that was kind of like that.
Jersey Shore, yeah. Anyway, so Frank is about to pull, he decides after talking to his daughter, he's going to pull the trigger. But then he has an epiphany. Why kill himself when he can go kill these people who are wrecking the country and polluting the minds of children and citizens everywhere?
Yay!
So Frank gets on a vendetta and he goes to this girl's home, this girl we saw on TV who's wanted by a car. He goes and he kills her. He tries to blow up her car and fails, so he pops her in the head. Okay? And then afterwards he runs into a teenage girl named Roxy, who's played by Tara Lynn Barr, who thinks that's awesome he's killing all these terrible celebrities, and he joins him in the killing. The movie basically essentially continues to unfold and show us the bloody road that the two of them leave behind as they are going through to try to cleanse the country from dumb media.
I have to say, when he attempted to blow up the chick's car, I mean, it was like he stuffs the rag it leads into the gas tank, and then he lights it on fire. And turns around, it's like the really cool action movie slow walk.
Yeah, yeah.
She's My Cherry Pie.
It's just like the very typical, you know, cool action scene explosion supposed to happen behind him, but he doesn't care. He just keeps on walking. Cool guys don't look at explosions. But he fails, and it flies out of the out of the gas tank, and he's like trying to pick it up, and he's burning himself. So he just walks up, I forget it, shoots her right in the head as she's locked in her own car.
And the people can actually see her. It's bloody, man.
Oh man, oh, yeah, all over the mirror.
Oh gosh. Well, let's go ahead and start. Daniel, you're up this week. What are your initial thoughts on this movie?
I thought this movie was awesome. I thought it was really, really funny, hilarious. I thought the commentary that it had on American culture was just about spot on. It was about perfect. Most of the TV shows, as he's flipping through at the very beginning, I could immediately draw a connection to a real-life TV show that it was trying to make fun of or a parody. So I thought its commentary on American culture and just the way that people are in today's society was dead on. It was about perfect and was really funny throughout the entire movie. A lot of things were really funny. A lot of the things that it had to say were really funny. So my reaction is awesome, funny movie.
All right, Bama, what about you?
I really wish that I could be Frank. I'm not even kidding, because there's so many stupid people in this world. And it's like, maybe not just go around killing people. I would at least like to go around and start smacking people in the face, making them realize what the crap they're doing. But, you know, this movie was hilarious. Of course, for me, you know, I'm not one of these people that likes shows like The Jersey Shore and, you know, all these stupid American Idol. I used to watch American Idol, but after like the fourth or fifth season, I was like, you know what, this is just a popularity contest, so I'm not going to watch it anymore. People hate me for it, but who cares? This movie, I can compare it to two others that are similar in the theme that they portray. The two that come to mind are Idiocracy, which was basically a average guy from the present being trapped in a cryogenic tube until he's awakened like many, many years later, and the whole country is basically just idiotic people, and he's the smart. I mean, he was average during our time, but he's like genius level comparatively. So it's just like the whole degrading of the U.S. And then the other one that this really compares to, especially the violence that's in this movie, Fight Club. Very, you know, anti-everything America, especially like the, you know, technology. Because in the movie, the little girl, she's upset that she got a BlackBerry but not an iPhone. I even saw someone posted a meme on Facebook, and it was a Tyler Durden's head on the side, and written next to it was "You are not your iPhone 5" or something like that. I thought it was very comical, but I mean, it's just great commentary, as Daniel has already said, just on how stupid and idiotic things have become for our country.
All right, Jesse, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think it shows how awesome of a country America is. All right, hear me out. We have the choice and the freedom to, you know, to watch these stupid, retarded shows, which personally I hate. We can choose to watch them, or we can choose to do something else. I think it shows a great job. Does a great job of showing like the freedom our country has, but also how poorly we choose to use it.
Oh yeah.
Especially in the realm of entertainment, because like, I love good TV, and I hate reality TV shows for the most part. So, as you can imagine, I could really relate to this movie as far as, like, you know, I freaking hate flipping through the channels and seeing nothing on I want to watch. Seeing another American Idol or Jersey Shore or America's Next Top Model. I don't know. I can just go on and on about all these shows that I hate. But overall, I really enjoyed this movie. I liked Frank's character. I felt like he was kind of relatable. You know, we're supposed to, like, trying to be in his shoes or whatever. Like, he's been kind of done wrong by the world. All these bad things have happened to him, and nobody really gives a crap about him. They're all too busy focused on all this stupid crap going on around him and entertainment that really has no bearing or doesn't really have any good quality to it. Mm-hmm. So he decides to, you know what, I'm going to change things. I'm going to, you know, kind of get revenge.
Yeah, I think of it.
I definitely think he's very relatable. I remember when he was watching the show about Chloe, and she's going through this birthday thing. She's complaining about her car to her parents. She complains about everything. And I remember thinking, oh gosh, I hope this character dies. Turns out he went and killed her. I was like, yeah, oh yes, he killed her.
Like, oh my gosh, I just can't stand it.
There was definitely moments where he's thinking about killing someone. I'm like, please kill them, please. So I was definitely right with him in his shoes. although I would probably never actually kill someone.
But everyone's thinking it in their mind when they're watching. Like, oh gosh! Every sane person who has any good sense is like, why is this on TV?
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't think about gunning down a bunch of people you don't like?
You know, I love this movie. I wasn't sure what to expect. I just heard good things about this movie going into it, and I thought it was great. I think what this movie does is it shows the price of the freedom of speech. It comes at a cost. Because people can't just respect the freedom of speech. They have to abuse it. They have to take it to the extreme. And there's several quotes I've got here from stuff that Frank says or it's in the movie. But one of his main point is there's no shame anymore. There's no right or wrong. We all just say what we want. And what's rewarded is we reward, he says right here, we reward the shallowest, the meanest, and the loudest people. We have no common sense or decency, no sense of shame, no right or wrong. And as a country and of a people, we've lost our soul because we've all, the American culture's bought in this idea of this cheap, low-grade entertainment that people will watch what's, at the moment, funny or stimulating. We'd rather be entertained by that, but looking into what's really the problem here. So I think it does a good job. I mean, I want to hop in more into the commentary it's got here, but I'm going to go ahead and list off some of the shows. I did like this movie a lot. I've got a couple of minor quibbles, so we'll get to it, but here, I'm going to list off a few things made it fun up here that I took down as the movie was going on. In the realm of reality TV, Jersey Shore, American Idol, which they actually call American Superstars, the E! Channel, you know, E! Exclamation mark channel, mm-hmm. William Hung, there's actually a character on the American Superstar Steve show. Steve something, and he's absolutely terrible. Like, he's terrible. That's where they celebrate how terrible he is, and at one point he tries to kill himself, and you're like, wow, this is like William Hung. This guy makes a career for being terrible, and everyone makes fun of him.
Stephen Clark.
All right, so next up, aside from just reality TV, you've got stuff. Oh, Sweet 16, that was a good one, too. Yeah.
My Super Sweet 16.
Glee. They make pokes at Glee.
Thank you.
Thank you, eternally. I wanted to stand and applaud for that one. News media, and that they're talking about mostly commentators like Fox News, CNN.
Well, a specific commentator in general.
Well, okay, it's definitely aiming at Fox more than anything, because this guy's name is Mike Pinhead, and he's like ultra-conservative. But, I mean, I think the commentator's definitely for all of it. But, I mean, come on, Fox News is just so easy to make fun of, dang it.
Very true.
So, talk shows is another one. Lindsay Lohan gets some jabs. Protesters, the Kardashians, people talking in theaters, and tabloid journalism as a whole. Just a few of the things. I mean, this movie goes on and on.
They made fun of the, like, TMZ. I think they call it
TMI.
Too much information.
Too much information.
I think it's probably what they meant to say.
Yeah, but I mean, this commentary is just, it's brilliant. you know, you get people at the very beginning of the movie. He says people just regurgitate what they've already heard in the scene. There's not really any room for original thought anymore. He's just talking to his coworkers. He's like, did you hear what was on this? Did you see what was on this? Yeah. Instead of actually having his own opinions about all this stuff.
And it's like as he was driving to work, he was like flipping through the channels on his radio, and he heard someone. I think it was like a sports talk radio or something talking about a guy on a sports team. He hears that as he's driving to work, and then he gets to work and is walking towards his cubicle, and he hears another guy saying that same phrase, but saying it as it was just him that thought of it. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, people don't even care that, you know, someone else said it, but they want to make it their own.
Yes.
They can't quote somebody because they want to take the credit for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at the guy believes that no shame. He goes off, and they pop off quite a few people here. They go and nail that girl. They're in a movie theater at one point, trying to enjoy a movie. And, right before it plays the please turn off your cell phones, and what was the other thing that said? Please don't talk, and please turn off your cell phones. Well, this movie starts, a bunch of teenagers come in behind them, and they're rude. They're talkative. They're loud. And
One of them answers their cell phone twice.
Mm-hmm. They even take, at one point, they take popcorn and throw it at Frank.
Yeah.
And he, like, hits him in the back of the head. Yeah. And so, yeah, they're just being really obnoxious, really rude.
And they didn't completely turn on them right then and there.
They waited.
They moved up. They kind of got out of the way, but they kept going.
So they didn't realize. They messed with Frank, though. Frank, actually, let me correct it. It was Roxy who pops the first shot and misses. And he's like, well, let me show you how to do this. And he pops these teenagers like it's no business. And there's some other guy in the theater they kill, too, for being rude.
Well, he was videotaping it with his phone.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which was another thing that he was complaining about later on in the film. You know, it's like you can't just put something into your memory and have that be a memory. You have to have like video or picture proof of it. You know, because for some reason that's better to have a physical thing that you can look at than to have it just in a memory and that you can, you know, just relive it because you were there.
Actually, there was about, I think there was 5 people in the theater outside of Roxy and Frank. 4 were the teenagers that were being really obnoxious, and then the other one was the guy that was recording the film with his phone. They left one girl alive, and the reason why they did not kill her is because she actually did not answer her phone. She turned her phone off, and she was real quiet. And so after he shoots all these people, he looks at her and says, "Thanks for not talking during the movie," and he walks out. And so they actually interview her later on TV, and she says, "I think he killed them because they were just being really, really rude." And so he's literally only killing the people that are being really obnoxious and really rude and just using their free speech just in a very stupid way. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's the thing that's constantly going through is, what have we done to ourselves? We have free speech and this is how we use it. We use it to cheaply entertain ourselves, to be obnoxious. Because apparently people love to watch obnoxious, cheap entertainment. And I think this is something all of us, you know, who aren't big fans of reality TV or news commentary shows, you know, we like good writing, more thought-out things. And then it's easier for us to laugh at it. I would be really interested to see someone who is a fan of all these things watch this. However, see, again, it's the distinction there. People who watch that type of stuff probably aren't going to watch this movie.
They would probably watch, like, 10 minutes of it and be like, well, this is dumb.
Yeah.
All the good stuff, they're just, you know, showing this guy watching it, and he hates it. I don't understand why he hates it, and then they would...
I think a lot of people would actually probably stop watching when he blows the baby up with a shotgun.
Yeah, probably. That was slightly disturbing.
I feel like that's a spoiler, Caleb.
No, that happens in the first 5 minutes.
I know, spoiler.
Spoilers, a baby gets blown up with a shotgun.
You don't see him actually shoot the
baby. See
that makes it okay.
Yes, it makes it okay. You see the blood splatter everywhere, and the baby stopped crying.
That baby hated America. That's all I know.
But it's okay because it was just a daydream sequence. So
this movie was just really funny. The way they were able to work in these jokes anywhere and everywhere. Like, that, for instance, when his doctor's telling him about his brain tumor, he's like, "I'm really sorry," and he gets a phone call. The phone call is a car salesman who didn't get his job. He's like, "You kidding me?" He starts just talking. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry that I was telling you you're going to die. I was talking to my car salesman." You know, little stuff like that. They slid it at any moment they could get. And this movie was straight up parody, and it was great. Really, really funny.
I thought they did a good job of... There are a couple moments in the film where it takes kind of a serious tone. Usually it's when Frank is... He's kind of doing like a monologue a little bit. And it takes kind of a serious tone. It's actually when Frank's actually kind of saying, "Hey, this is why I'm doing this, because you guys are stupid." And it takes a serious tone. I really liked the flow in between the comedy and the serious. Mm. I thought... But usually right after serious, there's a joke that just kind of breaks the seriousness. Right. And it frustrates Frank because... He's like, "You're not even listening to the important stuff."
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you on that. Because you guys know, I'm not the biggest comedy fan in the world. Not that I like comedies, but I'm pretty picky. And this is one of the ones I really like. Because I like comedies that are like this. Like, they have meat on the bones. There's like a real point to it. And at times they're serious, but the movie overall is funny. But they have those moments where you're serious. There's that balance between... Instead of just pumping out joke after joke after joke, you've got a movie that actually has something to say. And it's something that's funny. And it has some depth to it.
Yeah.
And I'm with Stolo. The tone is I pitch perfect between comedy and dramatic. Because it is dramatic at times where it is sad. And you do feel invested. But at the same time, it's still a comedy. It's still hilarious.
Yeah, some of the more dramatic moments are... Especially because he said this phrase to almost everyone that he would come in contact to that he didn't like, he despised, and was probably going to kill. He would always ask them, "Why can't you just be nice?" Or something to the effect of that. And I thought... Such a great question to ask some of these people, because they probably don't even know what it's like to be nice anymore, because they've been who they are for so long that they can't even...
They're so consumed and bought into the system.
Yeah, they're so far into consumerism that they can't figure out how to be nice to someone.
And I really like you draw the comparisons of Fight Club. I didn't even think about it, but now I think about it. The message here is totally different way to go about it. This is obviously a parody... Fight Club, the whole anti-consumerism, and look what the man has done to us, the machine, the machine of American consumerism. It's just never going, and if we keep buying into it, it's going to continue to grow and run our lives.
I would definitely say this movie is a combination of the two that I mentioned, Fight Club and Idiocracy.
Well, now you mentioned Idiocracy, it totally seems like Idiocracy could plausibly happen in the same universe, like probably, except for the future. The way it's set up, you know. All right, anything else you guys want to say before we move into the spoiler section?
No.
All right, well, here we go. All right, everybody, spoilers, here they come.
Spoiler alert!
Okay, so getting into the end of this movie, you find out Frank actually did not have brain cancer. In fact, he was it was really funny because he hadn't told Roxy the whole time they were doing this killing spree that he had brain cancer. And then she's like, well, why don't we just go to Paris? And he's like, nah, I don't want to do that, because he knew he was going to die. But then he gets called his doctor. His doctor, oh, actually, we got the results to the wrong person. So actually, you're going to live. You're not going to sue me, are you? And he's like, oh, no. So then he decides, let's move to Paris. Well, at that very moment, you see that Roxy actually has parents who care about her. Now, Roxy's actually a teenager. We probably didn't point this out very well earlier. Mm-hmm. But Roxy is a teenager who sees him get his first kill, and she loves it in the long run. She tells Frank that her dad left them, and her mom is the definition of a crack addict. In the end, Frank's watching TV, and they see missing child report, and he sees that her parents really miss her. So he decides to blow the whole thing, and he tries to go back and talk to his family again.
They're very nice people, very well dressed. I mean, they describe her family basically just being normal, mm-hmm. but she hates being normal.
Yeah, she thinks it's boring and monotonous, and she doesn't like the idea. So she likes the thrill of Frank, who does crazy stuff, and she self admits that she has ADD to the extreme. So so that happens, and what Frank decides to do is, once he figures out he's really got nothing left, he's going to go on American Superstars and kill anybody who gets in his way.
And just plow the field with an AK-47.
He meets his gun dealer, buys a bunch of crap, spends all the money he's got left, and he goes in, he shoots the Simon Cowell of the group, so to speak. It's kind of funny.
Well, what's actually going on is he goes back and they bring up the guy from earlier, what was his name, Stephen Clark, who, like we said before, he auditioned and was absolutely terrible, and he became this YouTube sensation, and everyone was making fun of how terrible this guy was. At one point, this guy almost attempted to kill himself. Well, when they come up, they brought Stephen back onto the show for the finale so they can make some more fun of him, and actually, he's up there singing, and the entire crowd's booing him, saying, you suck, stuff like that. So Frank walks on, and he shoots a couple people and gets people's attention, and then he kind of looks to the crowd and says, look what you guys are doing. You're making fun of this guy almost to the point where he killed himself and stuff like that. And so that's kind of what's going on there, is he's just so fed up with the fact that they've pushed this so far that they're putting him on national television with millions of people watching at this one moment and just blatantly making fun of him.
The fact that it proves his point, Frank's point, that Americans will watch it. Like this guy who is absolutely terrible, who almost killed himself, everyone make fun of him, and everyone's eating it up. Like it's a big deal. Oh yeah, it's funny. Yeah, let's go. I mean, think of like Antoine Dodson. Like so many parallels to the real world. Antoine Dodson. You have people who look like idiots. The Star Wars kid looked like idiots, but guess what? They are huge on the internet. They get on TV. William Hung. I mean, come on, look at this.
The Numa Numa guy.
The Numa Numa guy. All these little things that this movie is spoofing, and he gets this point where he says, this is terrible. We have no shame. We have no class anymore. We've lost decency. And at one point, I can't remember if this is in the final scene of the movie, he says, why have a civilization anymore if we're no longer interested in being civilized? He's saying, we are a joke.
I love that quote. When I heard that, I was like, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Because that is just so true for nowadays.
And then the punchline is, though, Stephen Clark comes up and he's like, I didn't try to kill myself. I didn't try to kill myself because people make fun of me. I tried to kill myself because they said I wasn't going to come back on the air.
Which makes Frank Frank literally just has this look on his face like,
really?
Really? And that's when he hands... Actually, Roxy shows back up. She comes in and apologizes for lying. Roxy runs back up on the stage and says, I'm sorry, while he's up there with this gun. And he has dynamite strapped to himself because threatening to blow the place up. And Roxy says, I'm sorry. After that, Frank, you can just tell the look on Frank is, I'm done. I've had enough. He hands the AK over to Roxy.
I seriously thought it was over at that point. I thought he was going to be like, taking off the dynamite and just let himself go to jail so that he could be away from all of it.
Well, he hands over the AK-47, he pulls out two pistols, and just starts mowing down people.
Steve Clark is the first one, by the way.
Yeah, he shoots Steve Clark first, and then he shoots the other two judges, and then he just starts shooting people in the crowd that were booing.
Then the policemen gun them down.
Yeah, so does Roxy. Roxy just mows them down Scarface style. Basically, they're on the stage, spotlights on them, and they get lit up. They fall to the ground. End credits.
That was shocked. I was shocked that was the end. I was actually watching with Jesse, and I was like, really? That's it? He gets shot, and that literally is the end. Like, you see him fall down, hit the ground. They don't even do, like, a dramatic zoom in on his face. No, you see the bullet go through him. He falls down in real time, black screen credits. Like, I was so shocked that that's how they ended. But I love the ending.
Yeah, I thought it was a great ending. I have a couple of minor quibbles with the movie. I thought this was a great movie right before we go and get into our scoring. Is there anything else you guys want to say about this before I go lay my final criticism down on this one?
He got a hold of some guns really easy. And they even made a joke about gun control.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Because the newscaster guy, the pinhead.
Yeah.
When they shot him first, they didn't actually kill him on the first hit. He was, like, out jogging, and they, like, clipped his leg. And so he falls to the ground, and they both run up to him to see if they actually killed him or if they just injured him. And he pulls out a gun on them, and they're all having this epic conversation. And Pinhead asks them, so, what, do you have a problem with my politics? And Frank is like, no, I actually agree with you on some things. And then after they have some more conversation, they kill him, and then
Roxy kills him because Roxy kills him because she's like, I don't agree with any of your things. Yeah. Bam.
Yeah, Roxy kills him.
And she's like, what the crap? What did you agree with this guy on?
And he answers, his gun control policy. It's just like, really?
No, the best part is what she says. She's like, you can't. He's like, don't you agree? Don't you believe in less gun control? He's like, you kidding me? If we just did that, any psycho could have a gun.
And it's like so ironic because she just shot him with a gun and she's a nut with a gun.
She's a teenage high schooler girl who's walking around with a pistol.
It is interesting to look at the different roles, this older weathered guy and this girl who seems to be very contradictory with what she's trying to do. I think she's just bored, but like a lot of stuff she's saying she hates, she has her, it's implemented, ingrained in her herself.
She's just looking for excitement.
Yeah, oh, totally.
And Frank is where the excitement is at.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of creepy when she was trying to flirt with him, though. You know, she's like maybe a 16-year-old girl, and he's like a 50-year-old dude, 40-year-old dude.
Well, she just wanted to be told that she was pretty.
Well, that's true. But you know, okay, well, whatever.
She's creepy.
Yeah.
she's slightly creepy. I will say that.
Last thing I'd say is I thought that both Tara Lynn Barr and Joel Murray both did a really great job acting in this movie. I thought they both did a pretty good job. For the roles.
As far as comedies go, yeah.
As far as comedies, I actually think Taro did a better job than Joel Murray as Frank. But
well, interesting. Joel Murray was in Dharma and Greg, the TV series. I haven't watched a lot of it, but I know it was a pretty comic-based sitcom. So, I mean, he has experience in comedies before. But one thing that I really loved about Joel Murray as he was doing this, he kind of had the look of like a Clint Eastwood.
Sometimes he'd have
a sideways mouth, and he would talk.
Listen here, punk.
He would talk in that gravelly voice that you know we all know that Clint Eastwood has. And you know, I mean, he was carrying around a pistol with him most of the time, so very Clint Eastwood like. So just a lot of commentaries on a lot of different things in this movie.
All right, yeah. I totally agree with you guys. Now my minor criticisms are, and I don't get me wrong, I thought this movie was great. These are minor. But I think they're worth noting. I felt like at times the characters were not exactly characters as much as they were a mouthpiece for Mr. Bobcat, whatever his last name is, to express his points. Not a big deal, because, I mean, that wasn't the point. The point of the movie wasn't to have these, like, in-depth characters or anything like that. But, I mean, I did think there was times where I was almost like, they almost felt less like human beings or characters than they did, like, the director just stepping in and, like, saying, well, here's what I think about this. Which I agreed with him on most of his points, but what I'm saying is, like, basically they felt not really real as much as they were just a mouthpiece.
Yeah, they gave you some character development, but not a lot. They gave you enough.
I mean, like, this isn't really a movie that begs for much. You don't really need a ton of character development. I mean, I'm just thinking the way they wrote the characters at times. It seemed, I mean, Frank, he went up on his tangents, and that was fine. But, I mean, there were times I felt like less character, more director talking, getting on his you know soapbox and talking. But I thought his commentary was great, and it really wasn't a big. This is, oh, it's a minor complaint. I mean, it definitely does not really change what I think of the movie. But I thought it was worth noting that you know the writing probably could have been a little smoother transition in between you know the characters talking these you know, points they were trying to get at. But anyway, not huge complaint. Let's go ahead and move into grades. Daniel, what grade would you give this movie?
I'm going to go with an A. I think it was a very good movie, and I enjoyed it very much. I think I've enjoyed it. Out of all the movies we've done, I've enjoyed it the most, and I think it was really well done. Really enjoyed the commentary, so I'm going to go with an A.
I'm actually going to score a little bit lower than you. I'm going to go A-. I know for the last 2 weeks I've scored higher than the two of you, but I'm actually going to go A-. Although I really enjoy the commentary that it has throughout this film, the acting is very solid on almost all parts. It was a very linear storyline. There wasn't really much else to it. Just, you know, guy ticked off with society and gonna go kill everybody. So story and like we said,
basic.
It's very basic. And of course, as we said before, characters not really developed all that well. I know it works with how this film is, but I like a little more character development. So I will go with an A-, but definitely watch this movie unless you're one of those people that likes Jersey Shore, Glee.
If you do, watch this movie. Might give you a wake-up call. You should. Yeah. You need to get dosed. Jesse, what's your...
I would give it a B+. Here's my reasoning. I've actually watched the movie multiple times, and the only reason I score it as low as that is just for the rewatch value, I guess you could say, like just the entertainment value. As far as like a commentary, it's great. I love it. The characters do feel a bit stiff to me. Roxy, she's nuts. Like, I mean, part maybe it's just because she's a girl, but like I don't get like why she does some of the things she does, other than the fact she's just crazy. Like she's like you were saying earlier, her character is very contradictory. I don't know. Just some of their interactions are just seem a little bit odd and weird.
Yeah. I thought her crush on him was definitely. Maybe it was supposed to, but that just felt weird.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like that was probably something that would happen in that situation, considering she's nuts.
Yeah.
But,
she is ADD, after all.
Yeah.
Apparently. But,
okay, never mind. But, yeah, as a movie, that was really good. It's definitely a movie I think that everybody should watch at least once. For some people, it's definitely not going to be their style or taste, but definitely worth at least one watch.
I'm going to go ahead and give this one an A- also. Don't want to restate too much what you guys have already said. I thought commentary was great. Stiff characters, a little bit. Yeah, that character, Roxy in particular, when she was funny, she was hilarious. But there was a lot of times she just felt weird and a little out of place. It's okay. She works for the most part. But I'm with you. I don't know how many times I'd have to watch this again to know how well it holds up. I'm kind of curious about that. But, you know, I think the commentary and just the thought and the theme of the price of American free speech. What is it doing to us? What is it doing it to us that we abuse it? And I think this is totally something in election season we got to be thinking about.
Hey, all I know is we have the freedom to bear arms. So if we don't like somebody, we can just shoot them.
Yeah, that's right. Freedom of speech plus freedom to bear arms, apparently. Right to bear arms apparently means shooting people. I'll point this out just for any of our listeners that might be offended by language and such stuff like that. This movie's got a lot of it in there.
Quite a bit.
I mean, we haven't really been too nitpicky on that so far in the podcast, but I just want to point that out, you know, for any of the listeners who are a little more sensitive to, you know, more graphic material, stuff's a little more tense. So a lot of the stuff we're watching does have a lot of that type of thing in it. So this movie's definitely got a lot of language that might turn some people who don't like that off. But for me, like I said, A-, loved it. I think you should go queue it up. I think if you're a guy if you've got some really good taste and you like commentary, political, social, any sort of thing, you need to watch this movie. All right, well, let's go ahead and move into our buzz section for the week. Bama. Fired up.
All right.
Nuclear.
Yes, very nuclear. Or, well, maybe not nuclear, but maybe a little bit lower than nuclear.
Oh, okay.
I've mentioned roosterteeth.com before. They're the people that have done Red versus Blue, multiple other things. They're on YouTube. They do video game stuff. They do, like, achievement guides and things of the sort. They are joining up with Blip and Geico, and they are doing a gaming reality show. There's already been an episode out. It was out November 1st was the premiere episode. Basically, They did interviews with people, with a bunch of people that came in. They let them play, like, I think one of the games that they played against each other was, like, Castle Crashers. I know some of us have played Castle Crashers before, very fun game. But just kind of see, you know, they did an interview with them just to see, you know, who they would want to be in this gaming reality show. They picked 19 people in the first episode. So the next episode, which I think may be already out. I think it came out yesterday on the 8th. But I think that's when it came out. But this first episode is going to be them actually playing some kind of video game. It's not a specific type of video game. It's not just all shooters or all racing. It's all different genres of games. So I think it'd be something pretty interesting to check out if you're into competitive gaming.
Kind of interesting on the subject of reality TV this week.
Yeah, I know.
Right, right. Well, this is a different type of reality TV.
Yeah, it's different.
It's not cheap so, and vulgar. And
yeah, it's not going to be
all about
cheap.
Shock value.
It's not going to be
all about
cheap
shock value and ridiculousness.
No.
All right, Daniel.
Mine is Halo 4.
What?
Of course.
Boo.
Why are you so mainstream?
I think you just drinking the Kool-Aid. Call of Duty is the greatest first-person shooter ever.
Whatever, dude. I've been playing this game all week. Me and my friends went at midnight to Monday night midnight to go get this game. And it's awesome. With the multiplayer, it's just awesome. It's been so much fun. I love it. I haven't beaten the game yet. I'm still trying to work through the campaign. So, but you guys need to check this game out.
Spoilers.
It's awesome.
Just cool time to make it.
And if you're in at MacU or hanging around Oklahoma City, tomorrow in the Student Center at MacU, November 10th, we are going to have a Halo 4 tournament. So,
what time is that?
2 o'clock. Tomorrow, November 10th. In the Student Center. So you guys need to come check it out.
If you want to get owned like a bunch of noobs, you need to come.
Exactly. When we first get there, we'll kind of be hanging out, getting everyone a chance to play. Then we'll be doing some different tournaments, like a free-for-all tournament. Then we'll let people create some teams and get and do like a team tournament, stuff like that.
Are we doing any type of prizes or anything?
There will be a couple prizes, nothing big. But we have a couple Borderlands 2 posters to give away. And we're not talking posters that were released to the public. We're talking only GameStop had these posters, and we actually have some of those. So we're going to be giving some of those away if any of you guys are interested in that. So come
favorite,
and check us out.
Favorite new weapon?
Dude, I love... They brought the battle rifle back.
What?
Yes, they brought the battle rifle back, and I really like it. I've been getting some headshots.
Playing some SWAT. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah,
I
gotcha. So it's been a lot of fun.
You pumped for Spartan Ops?
Dude, I am so pumped for Spartan Ops.
Okay, folks, I'm just joking. I'm actually a freaking massive Halo fan, and I regret the fact that I don't have an Xbox right now. I'm kind of crying a little on the inside.
Yeah, has come over a couple times already this week just to hang out and play it. So
a couple times.
Spoiler alert, Master Chief dies.
Oh, you went there. You went there. What are they going to do with Halo 5 and 6?
They actually introduced some new characters in the game. They're going to...
They're going to take the freelancers from Red vs. Blue and throw
them
in there.
Oh, snap. All right. Jesse, what are you fired up?
I'm actually really fired up about being released next year, Deadpool, the video game.
Breaking
the fourth wall wherever he goes. For those of you who don't know who Deadpool is, he's actually a Marvel Comics character. He was actually in the X-Men Wolverine movie.
Yeah, he was only in the first half, right?
Well, his character was only in the first half of the movie. They threw him in name-wise and... I'll say that Ryan Reynolds, who played Deadpool in that movie, was actually the perfect casting choice.
Oh, yes.
But they just messed his character up. Like, I don't know whether that was the director's decisions or the producer's decisions, but they messed him up. They gave him powers he shouldn't have had, and they sewed his mouth shut so he couldn't talk,
So they silenced the mercenary with the mouth.
Yes, they silenced him and took away the character's actually best attribute. So it kind of, like, honestly, when I saw the movie, it made me pretty upset. but I'm very excited for this new Deadpool game coming out. There's actually a teaser trailer online, and there's actually a video with one of the producers of the game talking about it and about what it's going to be like. So apparently it's supposed to be like a third person brawler beat 'em up type game.
Oh yeah.
Kind of imagine something. God of War meets No More Heroes. Imagine something sort of in that realm.
I like both those games.
Of course, the production values probably won't be nearly as good as God of War, but that's not where you're going to play this game. You're going to play this game because you love his character, you love good comedy.
And at some point, he's going to bust through the screen and kill you.
Exactly. Exactly. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Looks like it's going to be a good game. I'm really looking forward to it. So.
Awesome. Well, I am pretty cautiously very excited. I am cautiously excited. About The Walking Dead. Okay, now Walking Dead's been a while. It actually premiered 3 weeks ago. Season 3. It's going to... Or no, sorry, 4 weeks ago. It's going to episode 4 just aired last week. And it was one heck of an episode. It was intense. There was death, and there was...
No spoilers for this.
This dang it, story for you.
We can only do so many spoilers in a podcast.
Some people die.
Some people break down, and you're like, holy crap, that just happened. Like, more than once, you're like that.
And that's all we need to know.
But this means a lot to me, because I have been watching the show for 2 seasons, and I'll be honest, I wouldn't call myself a fan. Season 1, the production values of the show have always been through the roof, don't be wrong, but... Season 1 was intriguing. I liked the premise. It was cool. It was very well made. So I'm like, okay, cool. I want to check out Season 2. Season 2 for me was a big letdown because I didn't feel like it... The first half of the season dragged so badly. And the characters didn't really do anything. They just walked around and wandered around. The only character I liked was Shane, who everyone else hated and told me I was stupid for liking. So I was like, well, okay, I guess I just don't like the show very much. And then I thought the writing was all over the wall. There was the characters, like Lori... One minute she's telling Rick to kill Shane, the next minute, why did you kill her? I can't believe you did that. Oh my gosh. But I mean, she was just all over the place. All the characters were like this. There were inconsistencies. There were holes. It was just an uneven season. And if you don't know, there was actually a lot of trouble behind the scenes within the writing room with that. But anyway, season 3 has been off to a really solid start. Very dark. And they're pulling their punches. So this episode that aired last week was very intense. And let me just put it this way. I'm more willing to get behind the show. I feel like I want to give it a second chance, not to watch it, because I'll watch it no matter what. But for me to actually really get into the show and to hope this might be able to move up to a tier 2, and maybe if it keeps up like this for like a whole season, a tier 1. It's down like for me, it's like a tier 3, okay? I can get into that whole spiel later. But it's like lower down there. I enjoy it. I like it, but it's not great. But this last episode, they pulled some punches, and it looks like they're going to keep going. So... Check it out. It's on Netflix. Also on Netflix, you can watch the first 2 seasons. Just, here's what you do. You watch season 1, and you watch the first 2 episodes of season 2, and then you skip to the last 3 episodes of season 2, and you're good to go. So, that is what's got me fired up, and if you guys disagree, agree, disagree, let us know. You can message us through Twitter or Facebook or any other form of social media we've got out there. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up by talking about the movies that are opening up this weekend. What movies? Well, the only one I actually checked, and the only one that's worth noting is Skyfall.
Why
is this? Again?
The sky is falling.
Skyfall. Skyfall.
I hope that's the last time you do that.
Oh, anytime it comes up, my friend. Anytime it comes up, which means when it hits the box office next. Oh yes, that's right. That movie actually came out yesterday, and I have seen it. I'm going to wait till the next podcast to really get into it, though, because let me just say this, folks. There's some really impressive stuff going on in this movie, but we're going to talk about that more next podcast. Don't want to risk any spoilers on this one. I think that's worth noting. You guys think it's going to open pretty big?
I think it'll open huge. From everything I've heard people say, oh, this is going to be the greatest Bond movie they've made ever. It's like, I've heard multiple reviewers say that. I've heard nothing but very positive things about this movie.
Yeah. You know, Roger Moore, after this movie actually came out, he said, Daniel Craig was great, and then I saw this movie, and then I was convinced he was better than Sean Connery. One of the James Bonds himself said that. I'm just saying, that's not even like a fan saying that. That is one of the guys who played James Bond, which just gives it a whole new meaning. And Jesse, yeah, there's definitely a lot of critics out there who have been saying that since the early screenings. This is like the best Bond ever. But I don't know, folks. Check it out. It looks awesome. You can't go wrong with James Bond. And Daniel Craig's a personal favorite of mine. I feel like Bond movies are probably never going to be the same after this one. So, all right. Well, I want to let you guys know that if you want to follow us or keep up with us or, you know, subscribe to us, you can check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called the BCD Flicksters Movie Review Podcast. You can follow us there or like us. Please like us. Tell your friends about us. Let everyone know about us so they can tune in. If you have any messages or anything you want to send us, go ahead and let us know through there. We also have a Twitter, @BCDFlicksters. We just got this thing started up last week. Follow us. Come on. You know you want to. We want followers. We want a bigger cult. We want to amass the army. So, a personal Twitter I have is @BigCalKenobi91 and @MastersReview. Again, feedback. We want feedback. We want your questions. We want your suggestions. We want to see what you guys think. All right, everyone. You better tune in next week when we watch Battle Royale, the Japanese movie that did the Hunger Games before the Hunger Games did the Hunger Games.
Were you talking about they ripped off Hunger Games?
Oh, well, that's right. You know, yeah, they time traveled to the future, and they read the book by Stephanie Collins. That's her name, Stephanie Collins. And
yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
What if we made a violent Japanese version of this?
Sounds.
I don't know. I think it sounds different. I'm not sure.
I've seen the movie before, and I can say that I think Battle Royale is a much better movie than Hunger Games.
Ooh, edgy. Okay, fangirls.
I will say,
keep your calm.
I will have
better Jesse R. Curry just said that something is better than the Hunger Games.
Better tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, all right. Alrighty, folks. Checking out. And until next time, his name was Robert Paulson.
His name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson.
Kill the Batman.
Name the dude disguised as another dude.
Game over.